brief history of those who don't know what is known to everyone. His Holiness Sri Ram Swami has been a member of ISKCON since early 70s, so he's been traveling worldwide, preaching for the outreach program, sharing Krishna consciousness for well over 50 years. Also a prolific author of the Krishna in Vrindavan series, so there's very deep philosophy on our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. But also I just think he's more pertinent and more, so yes, here in Wales, he's the inspiration behind everything here in Wales, all the activities that go on. When he reminded me this morning that when we was in Swansea 20 years, just 20 years when we opened, he gave me this watch and he kind of wove it like this and said, every time he looks at it, it's time to go to Cardiff. So that's the inspiration. It's been a long time coming, but we get in here. So that's with everybody's help. We've got a real big team effort from everyone. It's been fantastic. So hopefully we can get it complete as our offering to him, to Srila Prabhupada, to Radhe Shyam. So thank you, everybody.
It's a real pleasure to be here. I don't know, when was the last time I was?
I think it was just maybe 2009, just before the pandemic. I think it was 4 or 5 years, so it was just before the pandemic came.
It's been a while, and especially I haven't really seen the beginning or the progress on Thai Krishna. It's really wonderful. I saw it today, and I have to commend all of the devotees. Srila Prabhupada would really, really be pleased. Of course, when it's fully completed, then then we can really sit down and relax, at least for a day. Before we have to start paying the bills. hopefully, the formula for the building, Taraknath Prabhu told me, I was happy he remembered, that a temple should pay for itself. It shouldn't have to be subsidized. If you have a building should maintain itself. It shouldn't require Lakshmi from elsewhere. So then, what do we do with Sankirtan Lakshmi? So we'll figure out some things, but one could be is renovate Swansea Temple, and put a little more focus back into sponsoring the original and the origin of our, well, anyway, purchased effort. Before that, we were in a rented house, right?
That was a rented house.
I don't know where it was. Where was it? What part of Cardiff?
Well, that was...
That was a long time ago.
That was in Llanerin. That was down towards the east of the city.
Yeah. And then before that, it was in a double-decker bus.
Yeah, that's a mandala. Yeah, with this. That's too bad.
We'll go back a long, long time. In any case, it's a wonderful achievement. And Srila Prabhupada would say, well, what's the use of your being Europeans or Americans? I mean, not Americans, but is Wales in Europe? No, of course, we're not in Europe anymore.
None of us are in Europe anymore.
and pretty soon you may not be in the UK either.
Yeah.
But whoever you are, then it's befitting that you do something wonderful for Krishna. And that was always Srila Prabhupada's emphasis, that do something. Krishna is so wonderful, and our Krishna consciousness movement is in its original form. If I talk about the Krishna consciousness movement, is also so wonderful. So we should do something that's representative. You see so many even buildings just here, whether it's corporate buildings or religious buildings or government institutions, and they're huge buildings, just like we walked into this hotel today, and it just had this atrium that went up, I don't know, probably about 12 floors, 14 floors. I've just compared to these two relatively modest building floors, although very, very beautiful. Can't imagine how much money is being spent on sex gratification, how much money is being spent on really sending people to very hot places. And then there's, and historically, it's always been like that. So it's a really wonderful project. And by doing a wonderful thing, then Prabhupada's idea was you also become wonderful. And it's a formula that Prabhupada gave us. If you want to be recognized by Krishna, then you preach. And preaching means, of course, speaking about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, distributing prasadam. I saw the Food for Life van outside, restaurant, and then, of course, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, chanting holy names. So this is really what Krishna consciousness is about, and what will really bring about Tadvaga Vishargo Jana Tabla Viplava. Who knows that verse? No, but you're not from Wales.
Yeah.
You know it. Yasmin Pratishlokam Abhavdavati Api too. Okay. So Narada Muni talks about bringing about a revolution in the world's misdirected civilization. That's our purpose, to bring about a revolution. We're not at the present at the stage of bringing about. Could I trade this in for something softer?
Take your pick, you gotta
bring about a violent revolution, although it wasn't out of Srila Prabhupada's agenda. Srila Prabhupada had a lot of plans. If people take things voluntarily, that's good. If they don't, and if you win the revolution, then use whatever means you can. Like with children, sometimes you have to force feed them, because if they don't eat, then they'll get sick. So what's worse, you know, force feeding them, or you know, being very nice to them? Okay, you don't have to eat. Of course, that also depends on circumstances. But in any case, the idea is to give an opportunity for people to acquire Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, to acquire some devotional merit. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this very beautiful and sort of very picturesque explanation. Brahmande Brahmite Konya Bhagavanji. So he says that a living entity wandering throughout the universe, And you could expand that actually to multiple universes. Where have we not been? Sometimes people talk about, oh, I really want to see the world before I settle down. You've already seen the world. You've seen it from all perspectives. You've been a fish in the water. You've been a bird in the air. You've been everywhere. And not just this world, but other planets. So Brahmanda means the body of Lord Brahma. This universe is the body of Brahma, in one sense. So Brahmanda, and the living entity is wandering until somehow he becomes Bhagyavan. Bhagyavan doesn't mean Bhagavan. Bhagyavan means fortunate. How does he become fortunate? Guru Krishna Prasadipai. By the mercy of Krishna, he comes in contact with Vaishnavas. He comes in contact with spiritual master, or you could say in plural, spiritual masters. And by the mercy of spiritual masters, then he comes to understand who is Krishna. And Bhakti Lata Beach ultimately acquires this Bhakti Lata. So Bhakti, you know, Bhakti means devotional service. And Lata means the creeper. And Beach means the seed. So the seed of the creeper of pure devotional service. We talk about that, this creeper. What is that creeper? So that creeper is the process, acquiring the process of devotional service, the activities by which you progress and advance and come to the stage of pure devotional service. Very, very rare thing, Bhagavan, that someone becomes fortunate. Krishna talks about how many people in the room? 50? Something like that. 6. More. Say about 70. So, there's 70 devotees here. So Krishna says that, what is it? Manusham sahasreshu kasvid yatati siddhaye. Manusham sahasreshu. Sahasreshu means, well, it's in the plural actually, so in the hundreds. Out of hundreds of people, one person, Manusham sahasreshu, one person is actually interested, siddhaye. He wants to become, he's spiritually inclined and he wants to attain the perfection of that spiritual path. Manusam sahasyesu kashid yatati siddhaye. Yatatam api siddhanam kashid mamriti satvataha. And then referring to the same hundreds, then similarly Krishna says, and out of hundreds of people who turn to me for perfection, only really one knows me in truth. So 100 times 100 is?
10,000.
Huh? 10,000. You're meant to be a Sankirtan devotee, weren't you?
10,000.
Huh? 10,000. I'd like to meet you on it. Give you change.
Yeah.
So, 1 out of 10,000, or actually 10,000s, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. Okay, 10,000 times 75 means 750,000. Population of Karvats, about a million?
Half a million, but yeah, about half a million.
Half a million. Okay. So sometimes the devotees ask, well, you know, why aren't there any more people in Krishna consciousness? You're exactly in the statistics that Krishna's talking about in the Gita. 1 in 10,000, and that 1 in 10,000 is here. So it works. Krishna's already telling you, okay, this is what you should expect. And if you do the same calculation worldwide, then you'll see that it may be something similar. So still, it's low percentage, 1 out of 10,000. So a hundredth of a percent or a thousandth of a percent, something like that, hundredth of a percent. So 1/100th of a percent of the population, out of those whom we meet, out of those whom we give books, at least in this life. But the seed has been planted, whether by chanting, whether by prasadam, whether by books, the seed is there, and that seed will grow. It can grow quickly, it can grow slowly. Part of it is also dependent on us. How much do we inspire that person to really take what they have seriously, to really appreciate? So you give books to people, but how many people read the books? One thing is to give them the books. So of course it begins with that. If they've got it, then they can read it. If they don't have it, then they're never going to read it. So if they have it, who was, I was thinking one devotee recently joined in Hungary, and her father purchased or received the book, Bhagavad Gita, long, long time past, and one day he just got inspired. She was down, she was looking for some answers, and she was really quite sort of disappointed by life. This was still in her teens. So father said, well, why don't you read this? And then she's in the temple. So it's not even necessary. And of course, now the father woke up. Now that he lost his daughter, he said, what is this anyway? So now he takes it a little more seriously. But it's too late. At least that's the daughter's beach is actually starting to sprout. And then similarly his will be in this life, in the next life. But it doesn't matter. But we're doing our business. We're spreading the seeds. We're giving that inspiration to people. And it will never go two ways. So it won't be lost. We should never think, well, why isn't it working? It's working. It will depend on how pious the person is. Have they done devotional service in the past? Very often those who sort of easily take to Krishna consciousness, then for them, they get a book, they come in contact with a devotee, and it may be instantaneous, or it may be a matter of just a year or two, and they come. We saw that in Srila Prabhupada's time, that devotees were really moving very, very quickly as they got Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, they met a devotee, and the next day they were in the temple. And Srila Prabhupada indicated that Krishna has sent you in your past life, you've done devotional service. Arupa Goswami starts Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu saying that if someone takes up devotional service in this life, it means that one way or another they've done devotional service in their past life. That devotional service may be real bhakti, or it may be unknowingly they've done something. Just like unknowingly someone eats some prasadam. They don't know what it is, or they don't know who Krishna is, or any of those things. But still, it has an effect. Prasadam has its effect. It also plants that seed. So you've all engaged in devotional service in one form or another, to be here, to take this very seriously, and to do something wonderful, to take on that burden. I'm aware that it's not an easy thing. especially current generations, are quite irresponsible people.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
And it's not something that we're making an observation just as a devotee, but I know many devotees who have businesses and so on and are employing people. They say it's useless for this. What is it? The Z generation.
Gen Z's, yeah.
Huh?
The Gen Z's.
Gen Z, the zombie generation. And that, they walk out. They expect to be paid, but they don't want to be pressured too much to work. And if they don't like it, then they, of course, that's a real big problem. They go back home. You know, it's 35, 40 years old, and I'm living with my parents. Off my parents. That you're living with your parents is not such a bad thing if you're the one supporting them, but they're the ones supporting you. It's horrible. So, and taking responsibility, that's what we really need. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes criticize that you're not responsible. You can't be trusted to stick with doing one thing. This is what I'm doing for my life. And I'm not shifting around here, there, or you see, people in the world outside, they have a certain occupation, they get that occupation, they do that. And of course they have their family. That's what generally really ties people down. And I have to do this, otherwise my family starves. So that we are, because when it's like this building has a foundation. And, from the foundation you've got pillars coming up. Now, isn't it, the pillar that's in this corner decides, well, I don't want being in the corner. I get wind from both sides. I want to be like one of them that only gets wind from one side. And he wants to go from here to there, but then the building collapses. So you can't build a institution, you can't build a Krishna consciousness movement unless devotees are reliable. Chinta Prabhu na Kuribi. You can memorize that saying. Chinta Prabhu na Kuribi. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to Haridas Thakur, and he's asking Haridas Thakur, how will the living entities, how will the moving and non-moving living entities be delivered? He says, I don't know. And Haridas Thakur explains how by chanting Hare Krishna, the vibration goes around the world, and when both living, moving and non-moving living entities hear that, they become liberated. And who will take responsibility for ensuring that chanting goes around the world? Chinta Prabhu na Kuribe. Chinta means don't be in anxiety. Don't worry. Dear Lord, do not worry. I'll do it. So that's what being a devotee is. When you can tell Krishna, don't worry, I'll do it. Prabhupada had 19,999 godbrothers and godsisters. In Prabhupada's words, they didn't do anything to spread Krishna consciousness. They lived off the fruits of their spiritual master's work. But Srila Prabhupada had that same mood. Chinta Prabhu na Kuribe, don't worry, I'll do it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't tell only Srila Prabhupada to come to the West and preach. In fact, many of Prabhupada's, or at least a few of Prabhupada's godbrothers, sort of stated that as a fact that Prabhupada, they called Bhaktisthanta Saraswati Thakur also Prabhupada. Prabhupada also told me to go. Why didn't you go? It's not that he told you to go. The question is, well, then why didn't you go? So here is the service that devotees can actually do to relieve Krishna's anxiety. Of course, Krishna isn't in anxiety in one sense. Nor does Krishna need anyone to do anything. You know, he's in everybody's heart. Redeshe Arjuna Tishtati. So he can just, within their hearts, decide, I want to be Krishna conscious today. And, you know, then all of a sudden everyone thinks, yeah, I decided to be Krishna conscious. But that's not, that's interfering with a person's free will. And I was just listening to Prabhupada's lecture where Prabhupada says this is the integral nature of the soul, is that they have free will and Krishna does not interfere with that free will. It's up to us. Because, it's like yesterday, we were in a bath and one gentleman was appreciating that Krishna consciousness is about love, is about cultivating and developing love. And yes, that's what it's about. But you can't force somebody to love you. That's not love. Love has to be the, despite all obstacles, despite all setbacks, someone is willing to give up other attachments just to love this person. So, yes, love means free will. Only with free will does love come actually naturally or spontaneously. So, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Krishna comes, but Sambhavāmi Yuge Yuge, he only comes at certain ages, but Vaishnavas are always here. So what about all the people who are here in between those ages that Krishna comes? Who delivers them? So it's the devotees. And the devotees, just like our acharyas. What is an acharya? Ramanujacharya, Madhavacharya, Nimbarka, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Rupa Goswami, and goes on and on. These are acharyas. Why? Because they accept all kinds of hardship, all kinds of difficulty, just to fulfill Krishna's mission. And whether they live or die, doesn't really matter. Hey, the lights went out. What happened?
It's the batteries. Probably the batteries.
You're running Thai Krishna batteries? Okay.
Yeah, it's probably the
battery
in
there. So, are you dependable, reliable, that someone can do a service, whatever that service is, whether the service is washing pots, whether it's selling books, whether it's keeping accounts, that whatever it is, I stick to that service because that's how you have an edifice. So building is specifically talks about buildings, but edifice means anything that really you're trying to build up, say like an institution or a church, a religious institution. So to make it work, to keep it going, it means that you have steady posts, and people are willing to stay in their place and do what needs to be done in order to achieve a purpose. And when someone's very reliable and dependable like that, then yes, it becomes a very wonderful thing. Krishna thinks I can trust this person. Now, you know, Krishna consciousness begins with faith. Ado Shraddha. Tata Sadhu Sangha Vajrana Kriya. Ado Shraddha. And generally, we're thinking of that our faith in Krishna. Well, that's good. Poor Krishna, you know, we have to develop faith in him as if he's done something to, we're the ones who abandon him, and then, you know, again, he has to prove himself. How do I know that God exists? How do I know that God is blue? How do I know that he's got a peacock feather in his head? And so, but what about Krishna's faith in us? It's not enough for you to have faith in Krishna. Krishna needs to have faith in you. So how does Krishna have faith in us? In one sense, it's a lot more important. Again, yesterday we were talking with this gentleman about that Krishna consciousness is about teaching us how to love. He said, well, I don't need anyone to teach me how to love. I know how to love. So anyway, but we don't know how to love. We have some emotion, infatuation that we call love, but everyone has experience, right? That it comes, you fall in love, and then you fall out of love. Therefore, it wasn't love. It's something that resembles it, but you have to learn the real thing. Because how do you get love? Love comes from Krishna. And Krishna gives love when he has faith. Now I forget the verse. So, yes, kriti sadhya bhavit sadhya bhava sadhana. Yeah, well, it's not the verse that I was looking for. It just siddha sadhava. Surya angsa. So anyway, love comes from Krishna. And when Krishna's convinced, actually, yes, he's convinced and he has faith in us. And one of the things that he has faith in us is that we are reliable. Because we're the ones that turned away from Krishna. Krishna bahi mukha hona bhogyavan chakari. It isn't that Krishna turned away from us. We turned away from Krishna. So Krishna wants to know, like any other person, is this person going to do it again? You've done it once. You can potentially do it again. Whether you do it or not, that's another thing. Generally, one doesn't. Once having gone there, then one never returns. So this is what we want to show, and this building, yes, it shows. Prabhupada was very really considered the measure of the establishment of Krishna consciousness by our properties, believe it or not. Look at Prabhupada's will. Prabhupada only talks about two things. One is, who's in charge? GBC body. And number two is, who are the trustees for all of his properties? And he gives rules that once you buy something, you can never sell it. Or you build something. That's Prabhupada's will. He didn't mention me, he didn't mention Adhikara Prabhu. We're, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, we're not in Prabhupada's thoughts, but Nonetheless, this was Prabhupada. Why? Devotees may come and go, but that building's not going anywhere. And when that building's there, people are going to say, here's the Hare Krishnas. When the building goes, then, well, the Hare Krishnas were here, but now they're not. So, once again, reliability. How much can others also rely on the Krishna consciousness movement being here? So it's a wonderful thing. Creating, of course, you know, to create something is in one sense easier than maintaining it. That's why the building's got to maintain itself. So you've given it life, okay, feed yourself now. You have to pay, it has to pay the bills, it has to pay for the people who are engage there, or maintain them, or if you're employing somebody, which is not the desired thing, but anyway, then that you're paying them, and everything else. And generally, you put 10% of the value of a property aside annually for maintenance expenses and maintenance costs. That's one problem that there's a sort of a property trustee that unfortunately devotees in ISKCON do not do, which is that they have a property somehow or another and they don't then maintain it. Some of you have come to New Rajadam. We've got 65 buildings, one building, we have 65 buildings. And of course some are residential, and then some are Goshala, then there's the temple building, and then there are also other buildings that are non-residential, put it that way. They'll have to be painted, they have to be cleaned. We're living in Kali Yuga and the material world anyway. Bhutva praliyate, everything decreases, everything declines. The wood rots, even the bricks are very trustworthy. They're there for a long, long time. But still, you know, you have to replace the mortar in between them on a regular basis, and so many other things, insulation, and you name it. Lightning strikes the building, you gotta fix it. And lightning does strike buildings. So when you have 65 buildings and you know you want to build more, it takes a lot. So yes, continue like that. What would Srila Prabhupada say? Come to the opening. Srila Prabhupada said, this is very nice. Now you've made a start, now you should build a 20-story temple in Cardiff. Prabhupada didn't stop. Right, wasn't it? How many Christian churches are there? Just one. Are they satisfied with just one church? Of course not. So, and this is one, and it will generate followers, it will generate funds, it will generate a lot of respect. That you've already got respect because you've got a phenomenal amount. You know, this yatra has gotten more donations from public institute than anybody else in the UK. And maybe in the Western world, people just, how much, 2 million?
From the government and?
Yeah,
3 million.
Three million.
Over 3 million.
£3 million is nowhere in the world has people gotten $4 million, $4.5 million from government and other organizations, charitable organizations, the lottery. if you're not winning the lottery, at least, you know, get the remnants. I can't believe it when I read it, that someone's just won $1 billion. What if you get $1 billion? You can't even spend it. And, you know, it can be just some poor person. This is karma. But the real karma is when there's one person who, at the same store, has won the lottery 3 times, not big amounts, but won like tens of thousands 3 times. Bang, bang, bang. That's called karma. Bhagavan Maharaj always tells me, when I win the lottery, I'm going to build Radu Shama temple. Problem is, he never plays the lottery. You can buy a ticket. Worth taking the ISKCON fallout if you win $1 billion. Anyhow, yes, and we keep on going. The whole world belongs to Krishna, and but it's being taken over by non-believers, by materialists, and everything that's Krishna's property is being used for non-Krishna conscious purposes. Our business is to regain it. So Prabhupada would say, you are my monkeys and bears. It's like Lord, he's referring to Lord Ramachandra. You know, his army was monkeys and bears. So of course Lord Ramachandra didn't require any army, but still, he's playing this Leela. So he had all of the monkeys and bears, and with them, he defeated Ravana and Ravana's army, which were really qualified soldiers, empowered soldiers, and monkeys and bears. The monkeys throw rocks and use sticks, and the bears, not even that. So we may be like that, but when you have Lord Ramachandra on your side, when you have Krishna on your side, and this is how Bhagavad Gita ends, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdhara. So if you have Krishna on your side, it doesn't matter who you are or what you are, then you will win. We'll always win. That's how we're here. That's how the Krishna consciousness movement spread. We were not just disillusioned, but we were really confused generation, hippie generation, but we had great faith. And I can't say we had necessarily great faith in Krishna. It took a little while to find out, because you have to understand, in the beginning, we didn't even have books. So we had Prabhupada, and we had great faith in Prabhupada, especially the devotees who came really, really early, 66, 67, 68. So it was Prabhupada, even when I joined. By the time I joined, before I joined, there wasn't really hardbound Bhagavatams. There were softbound chapters were being, Srila Prabhupada had them sold. I remember Lord Varaha, the story of Lord Varaha and Hiranyaksha. So it's just a little paperback book, and that's how we were reading the Bhagavatam. And then when I moved in, by that time we had up to 3-1. And Bhagavad Gita and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But we didn't have all the Bhagavatam, we didn't have all of the CC, Nectar of Devotion. Yes, that was also there. CC wasn't there. So, and aside from that, there was very little emphasis on reading Prabhupada's books. More or less, books were meant to be distributed, not to be read. And even sometimes it went to the extreme that, you know, you were Maya if you were sitting reading Prabhupada's books, you should be out there distributing them. So things have changed a little for the better in that regard, because Prabhupada did want us to read the books. He didn't think that book distribution was really complete unless the book distributors themselves knew what was in the books and were practicing it. But in any case, we had really great faith in Srila Prabhupada's vision and what Srila Prabhupada wanted. In fact, we knew, at least by the time that I moved in the temple, right in the very beginning of 1973, that Prabhupada had said that if you had full faith in me and you did everything I said, we could take over the world in 18 days. So, of course, it was always a mysterious statement. Well, what is it that we're not doing that we could be doing? But that type of empowerment, that if we have faith, the monkeys and the bears, they didn't think twice, wait a minute, we're starting a war over one woman, and thousands of us are going to die over one woman. Why? So logically, it didn't make sense, but Lord Ramachandra wanted it. They had faith in Lord Ram, and so they did it. One person didn't have faith in Lord Ram, and that was Dvidvid. I don't know if you know the story of Dvidvid Gorilla in Bhagavatam in Krishna book. So he comes up in Krishna's pastimes. Dvidvid was also one of the monkeys, gorilla, who fought with Lord Ramachandra. But he didn't have faith that Lakshman was Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he disagreed, he actually offended Lakshman. And due to his offense, despite the fact that he participated in killing Ravan, despite the fact that he became a demon, and he started to associate with other demons, so then later on, then Balaram killed him, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's why Balaram came and killed him, free him from his offense. Even if Krishna killed him, then it wouldn't have freed him from his offense. When Balaram kills him, then. So this having faith that Prabhupada laid out, and that's actually our business. Read Prabhupada Leelamrita, not the abridged one, the 6-volume one, or if you have the big ones, then it's the 2-volume one. Is it 2-volume,
yeah,
the big
two,
one?
Yes.
Originally, Satsuk Maharaj was 6, and then he did another one, and then there's little red books that come along.
Mm.
Know what Prabhupada wanted. Listen to his lectures. Listen to Prabhupada's conversations. Those conversations are very revealing, because Prabhupada talks about a lot of things that he doesn't necessarily speak from on the Vyasasan, or doesn't put in his books, but of course in his books you'll find everything in terms of the mission and the teachings and philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Anyway, all in all, that's the duty of anyone who is a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. You have to know what it is that Prabhupada wanted, and you have to have a very clear vision of where to go with that. And if that becomes your life, then you may be a monkey, a bear, we may be anything, but then we'll always be successful. Why? Because Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, because Krishna is on your side. And if Krishna's on your side, then no one can defeat you. So, yes, this is a wonderful achievement, and please continue on. Of course, in one sense, Krishna consciousness isn't measured in terms of the bricks and mortar. It's measured in terms of our devotees. It's measured in terms of our pure devotees. How many pure devotees does the Krishna consciousness movement create? You have to know how to recognize a Vaishnava. Vaishnava kriya mudra vijnana mudra. And Vaishnavas aren't easy to identify. They're like spies. So the whole idea of a spy is that you don't know that he's a spy. So the more that someone becomes advanced, the more someone hides their own spiritual attainment. Now that doesn't mean you should think that the devotee who sleeps in, never reads books, eats 20 times a day, is the most advanced devotee in the temple. So it takes one to know one. But Vaishnavas are not easy to, it's like you have the example of Jadbharat. So everyone just thought he's a crazy madman. Well, he was mad, but he was mad for Krishna, but he wasn't a deranged person. So and generally Vaishnavas may be like that. I'm just saying that because, you know, don't look to some, you know, superhero from outside of your own ranks. You just look within your own ranks of pure devotee. Well, someone who actually has pure faith, that's one type of pure devotee. Another pure devotee is someone who's actually free from all material attachment. The pure devotee is someone who actually has the initial symptoms of love of God. And then the other pure devotee who actually descends and plays the role of a Madhyama Adhikari, then they're very, very rare. Look, because Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, they may have not been very active in terms of the preaching that their Guru Maharaj wanted, but they were scholars. They knew what Krishna consciousness was. In fact, one of the problems, at least from my point of view, that ISKCON has nowadays, is that we think that we've got some kind of special, what's it called?
Monopoly,
thank you. We have a monopoly on philosophy and Krishna consciousness, and we know better than anybody else. That is generally not the case. So even though the fact that they were born Brahmins, very well versed, they were, you know, Sanskrit scholars and so on. Prabhupada says, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. You know, even Srila Prabhupada, when he did his translations and he did his commentary, he referred to a series of commentaries by previous acharyas that was translated into Bengali. Prabhupada wasn't looking at Sanskrit, he was looking at Bengali. So, but still they couldn't recognize who Srila Prabhupada was. They couldn't recognize that, yes, Srila Prabhupada was the acharya. Why not? Because Vaishnavaya Priya Mudra is very difficult to actually recognize and understand. So even when Prabhupada first, we first started calling Prabhupada Prabhupada, because in the beginning they were calling him Swamiji. And at some point, you know, Prabhupada said, I think devotees who had gone to India wrote back about how Bhaktisthanta Saraswati Thakur was called Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, this Swamiji is really a third-class address for spiritual master, or to speak of for Acharya, founder Acharya. When we started calling him Prabhupada, then his godbrothers got very upset. They wanted that word, name Prabhupada, to be exclusively for Bhaktisthanta Saraswati Thakur. So they came, and there was quite a shouting match between Prabhupada and his godbrothers. And of course, Prabhupada pointed out, you know, he said, well, it's not me. It's not. So he said, you know, bring my paper, what's it called that you write? Stationery. Bring my stationery. So he brought stationery and he showed him, here, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. There's no Prabhupada there. I'm not calling myself Prabhupada. They're calling me Prabhupada. So then, what are we going to do? So then they left. Interestingly, when Prabhupada disappeared, the GBC passed a resolution that no one else in ISKCON can be called Prabhupada. It's a nice sentiment. It's a natural sentiment. But in any case, Prabhupada was the Acharya, and he wasn't recognized. So to actually recognize Vaishnavas amongst ourselves, one of the symptoms will be that devotee is very reliable in terms of his sadhana, reliable in terms of his service, very nishtha, very reliable in terms of his own obvious Krishna consciousness, someone who doesn't waver. So, yes, continue doing wonderful things. You become wonderful. But just this one life. Anyway, there's nothing you haven't done anyway. What are you going to do? So, whether grihe tako vane tako ha gauranga bhuta. So, you want to be... If you stay brahmachari, that's good. At best, you can't stay brahmachari, be grihastha. So you've got good examples. There's Tarak Granth Prabhu. He doesn't even know where his family is. Adhikari Prabhu. The devotee's been preaching, scribbling books all their lives, doing something significant. Adi Guru and others. Prabhupada didn't really discriminate between the sannyasis and the grihasthas. Or put another way, Prabhupada expected the same from both. But didn't, you know, it was Malati and Shamasuna, they had a 2-year daughter. And Prabhupada just, you know, train, get off the train and start a preaching center in India. No one had ever been to India. They didn't have a penny to their name. Prabhupada just dropped them off the train. And he says, go preach. He said, well, we don't have anything. Just preach and Krishna will send it. So, grihe tako vane tako. So yes, whether grihastha or sadhana, we should do something significant. And that was one very, very nice statement of Srila Prabhupada, where, you know, he says, I want a certificate from Krishna that this man has done something for me. So you should want to get a certificate that you've done something so that you can show it, yes, this person has done something. So this mood is there. It's same thing Hilat Kusumanjali, 17th verse. So same idea, that I want a certificate that this person belongs to me. Why? Because of their service and surrender. And that's love. Love isn't a feeling. It comes as a feeling. But how do you know that someone loves Krishna? Because they'll do anything for them. That's what you do. How do you know that, for instance, a mother loves her children? Because they'll do anything for their children. Literally speaking, they'll do anything. It's not about a feeling. Feelings are secondary. So you're doing something wonderful. Now you got a taste of what it's about. So don't stop. Prabhupada would not stop. And if you build 120-story temple in Cardiff, then Prabhupada would say that there's only one temple. There can be so many more. But Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada told Gopal Krishna Maharaj he wanted 20 temples in Delhi. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj came close to building 20 temples before he passed away. So, yeah, wonderful temples. So that's how do you build, 20 temples in 30 years, 40 years? It happens if you have Krishna on your side, and if you're on Krishna's side. Okay, I've spoken enough. Thank you all very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Gaura Nithai ki jai. Jai Nithai Gaura Premanandi. 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 Jai